What's going on? This is Mike Floki Mason.
Hello, this is Griffin G-Dog.
Hey, what's up? This is Hector.
What up? This is Michael Sean, and we're the hosts of Swing No Combo, the Dragon Ball Fusion World card game podcast. This is your ultimate guide to mastering the Fusion World card game. Each episode, we'll dive into strategies, deck building tips, and gameplay analysis to help you unleash your inner champion. Whether you're a seasoned player or just starting out, we've got the insights you need to power up your skills and dominate the competition. Join us every episode as we explore the world of the Dragon Ball Fusion World card game. So shuffle your decks and let's get started.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Back to Swing No Combo, the Dragon Ball Fusion World podcast. My name is Mike Floki Mason. I'm here with Griffin G-Dog. And listen, it is FBO7 Prime Season. Pre-releases are just about done. Mr. Limited Lord himself is with me today as he's won a full playset of them things.
What can I say? Limited is a great time. I think that everyone should partake. It's one of the best ways to open packs and not feel as guilty about it, because at least you're playing with all the cards.
That's totally fair. But then afterward, like, I'm the kind of guy that like sifts exactly what they need. I'm like, okay, I don't need this, don't need this, don't need this, don't need this. But it is prime playtesting season. All the whole team here at Swing No Combo have kind of taken to this format by storm and really started to test with the local scene here and really get ready for upcoming regionals, especially on the store level. Make sure you guys check the Bandai app, because you know your local store might be running one.
Yeah, we really hit the ground running. Like day one, we're testing late at night. We are trying to get as much information on all of these new decks and matchups that we can, just so we can give them to you.
Yeah, I think you and I were like spitballing lists back and forth. You were like, hey, can you send me this list? Hey, can you send me this? I think there was like 3 days in a row I was, you know, doing something completely different, and I still sent you a list. I'm like, another day, another list.
I believe it. I probably did.
And you were like, neat.
Yeah, I like looking at lists. I like seeing what other people are trying to do. It helps me. I don't claim to ever be a good deck builder.
Sure.
In a constructed sense. So I like getting that push off point, and then I make the list my own.
Yeah. I have to say a couple of the builds that I had just across the board have been doing way better than I thought. And we'll get into it. We're gonna do a color by color. We'll go through a couple of the lists that we're still like, you know, trying to tinker with and things like that. We're going to start off with red, and we're going to talk about red droids. More specifically, I would really love to talk about red 18.
Yeah.
That deck has become such an accelerant. I didn't think how powerful Android 16 was going to be until I saw that in play.
Yeah, watching what you had talked about is 10 energy worth of stuff on turn 4. Or even if you're just playing the 16 into Bleak Future, you're still getting a lot of value on getting that field out and something else. It was always the weakest turn in 18, the turn that you had to play Bleak Future. Now it is one of the strongest.
Yeah, and I do think the other part to it, having some way to cell chain off into the new cell 5 drop, right? And especially with the tournament pack 8 promo we're getting with Android 18, it's another 18 that you can cell chain off of.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it's specific to 18. So I feel like that deck's getting a lot of the rage right now. But speaking of the rage, this set predominantly was Daima and Evolve. And I have to apologize to everybody, because I've seen that deck win games on turn 3, turn 4. It is disgusting.
It goes so absurdly fast. It is, even if it's not winning by turn 3, but it is practically won by turn 3 with the amount of pressure that it can put on. If you're awakening with a 3-drop Shin from FBO6 into another awakener, you're awakening turn 2 or 3, evolving a Goku into other Goku, and you have 30k, 40k bodies out on turn 3 and 4. The 40k body swings twice, and if you just get that one on board, say you have the marker on turn 3, you can play that one out, and then on your next turn, you play another one. You're swinging 44 times.
And we're not even talking about Glorio. We're still not just talking about playing that on turn 4. Like, you could play that turn 4 and then make your leader swings or just your swings in general, even more powerful.
Yeah, set 5 Glorio SR is still just an absurd card, minusing the leader by 5 and swinging twice for 25. Such a nice number. Getting that, like, that 10 over number is so nice. And Glorio just, it's all gas.
Yeah, it's all gas, no breaks. I think as the collective of the Diamond Leaders, I feel like Glorio's been coming out of the races.
Glorio's definitely on top. I think we were incorrect in saying that they're going to be of similar power level. I think Glorio is going to be, at the very least, a lot faster.
Yeah, and then the last deck in red that we wanted to talk about, I know you've been highly on this leader. Tell me about Topku.
Topku got a card. It's a 20k, so you can play it with the leader ability by paying 1 and discarding a card to play a card with 20,000 power in it. And it has, when you're awakened, gets plus 10. And on play, draw 2 cards. Anytime that they've added draw more than 1 card on a card, it's usually been like meta-defining, I think. Like, not even meta-defining, just like deck-defining. It's like, oh, suddenly that's the best card in the deck.
Yeah.
It just says draw 2. So turn 3, if you're awakened, you can just play that. It's card neutral with the leader effect since you're mm-hmm. discarding cards. It's card positive if you're just playing 4 energy for it. It is silly. I've been testing that deck, and it goes really hard.
Yeah, I feel like Topku is coming slowly back into the meta, so I'm going to be very curious to see, you know, how that shakes. I think, like, now red's in a really interesting spot where it's become the aggro color.
Yeah.
Like, there is going to be other decks that we talk about that have that aggro feeling. But nothing like being able to swing turn 3, turn 4 into a situation where you have 2 life left.
Yeah, I think the Android stuff is really the mid-rangey red at this point, where right. The other red decks are really aggressive.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Well said. Let's talk about blue. Let's talk about the color that used to be so powerful, but has gotten a lot of love, you know, with other archetypes coming into the fold. Omega Shenron. I know you've been dabbling with this deck. Talk to me.
I've been tweaking it. I was trying to make a list for it before the set came out, before I knew what was good, what was bad. Since it coming out, I did a few test games, tweaked the list, did a few test games, tweaked the list, did a few test games. It's really not clicking for me.
And that's okay. I feel like, you know, as we kind of like grow longer into this format, I feel like that's going to be kind of where we go. I do think Omega's effect to being able to, you know, make extras free from yard, I think is great.
Yeah, the best extra to play for 3 is just, Dragon Thunder? It's just 3 energy, draw 2, your opponent can't activate blocker. It's like Gallic Gun, in a way. I think that's usually the best one to play, is just draw 2 cards.
Yeah, I do also like the minus energy ball combo. So when you play Shin, you swing with the Sin Shenron, and then you pop it for the Omega. Omega swings 35, and then you play minus energy ball, untap, have a double striker. So you're threatening 4 damage on board, which is pretty nice. But
the issue with that one is that you are waiting until turn 5 to do that.
That's fair.
And with how Daima is shaping out and how other colors are shaping out, how aggressive that I think this meta is going to be, I just don't think that stall blue gameplay is the gameplay.
Yeah, so that kind of leads me into Trunks a little bit. Now, we can't talk for Michael Shawn, but this gentleman has been really grinding Trunks. I've been seeing a little bit in action. I know you got to hang out with him a little bit longer the other day. Did you see Trunks doing anything big?
I don't know if I've seen it playing into anything too spooky yet, but as a deck, that new 3 drop that when attacking minuses the board by 2 cost and then bounces a 1 drop to hand, it's really effective board removal. And the effect of bouncing something to hand is optional. So what I've seen him doing with that mostly is reducing everything by 2 and then following up with a sickle, you're bottoming the 6 drops from the Daima deck.
That's
pretty, and that is what's helping him. I've seen him take games against Daima using that strategy. The way he's built the deck, he built it in such a way that it can stall the way blue always had, but it can also kind of go fast with these 2 and 3 drop cards. Like, he can Final Hope slash loop with the Videl. Trunks is playing 1 costs from your hand as well.
Yeah.
So it's honestly a contender for top blue spot, but the blue spot, you know.
I think it's right now, it's in a weird spot, but I think the deck, if there is a blue deck that comes from it, it's Vegito.
I think it's Vegito.
I've been gassing up that card for the 3-drop for so long. There's so many lists I've seen online, so many different variants. I don't know, something about being able to have Floodgate on the board and really just having something to be like, hey, your three drops or less can't attack it, against Daima. It stops them in their tracks.
What I truthfully think the two most powerful effects of that of the new three drop is that it's a 25k.
That's true.
Where other three cost cards that will play something for free or from drop are usually like 15k bodies. So it just kind of feels bad to swing with it. It's a 25, so you're demanding a 10k out of your opponent's hand if you're swinging at lead. And then secondly, it grabs the card from drop, which you're filling for the deck.
Yeah, it still feels bad to mill your super combos and saviors, but that's just the nature of the beast.
Yep.
But I think overall that deck is in a good spot. I don't know if it's going to like be meta shaking, but I do think it's going to have a couple of spots where if the pilot is on that day, they're going to make it work.
I mean, just today you were taking out a Daima deck pretty consistently.
What can I say? All my homies love Floodgate. Yeah. So, so I think kind of speaking of kind of that defensive kind of aspects too, green, you know, has had a lot of different gimmicks and a lot of different ways they can manipulate the board. And I was talking really heavily about Piccolo Superhero. I won't lie to you. I have to still build it myself. I'm really starting to dabble with it. I think that's a deck that it's going to take a little bit for it to get solved.
I think the God curve that we had talked about is better in theory than practice.
That's also fair. I think,
like,
yeah, it's...
8-drop SCR on turn 5 is incredibly cool and nice. However, that is the only thing you're doing until that point. Yes, you get 5 more energy after, but if you're playing against a deck that is reasonably aggressive, your turn 3 Nappa or Gamma, well, the Gamma is just not on the board, so you don't have a repeated swing. The Nappa is probably removed by something, because that's how the game is. It's going to get removed. It only costs 3 energy.
Right.
The Gohan is only a 25k body, so it also probably got swung at.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to turn 5, you have nothing on board, you play the 8-drop, cool, you have nothing else.
It's like solely run. I feel like we're going to be coming to a point where maybe it's the Beast Gohan into Orange Piccolo SR or Beast Gohan into Gohan Future into, you know, the 3-drop blocker. There's also text of 4-drop Vegeta from FBO1 that ramps.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah. So, I think my favorite is probably into the Gamma 1, Gamma 2, where you're getting your leader to be 5 bigger, so you have a little bit better defensive options.
Yeah, that's also... So you have a lot of tools. It's going to be really interesting to see. But another deck that I have taken... I'm in love with this deck. I didn't think it would be possible. I would be in love with it so much. What can I say? I like a man that's really angry. I love me some Broly BR.
Broly BR is super neat. I tried it a little bit beforehand. It just didn't vibe with me, but it vibes with so many other people that there has to be something about the deck. This new Chila is kind of silly.
Yeah, you know, Hector, we talked a lot before the set came out, and, you know, he was like, listen, I think this card is going to be really, really good. And being able to have a tempo play where you board wipe the board with 9-drop, swing, double strike, and then still do Chila into another Broly...
Playing the Broly for 2 instead of 4, it's half as much. So half. You have 2 energy to do anything else with.
Also started tucking in things like Rampage Control because now you have energy for it.
Yeah, you could just leave energy up.
Yeah, you can leave energy up for that. You can also do, I've been a big fan of playing the Chilai, do the full combo into a 7 that is just naturally 7, and then playing out Planet Vampa. Also, the double attacker, you were talking about how it's a super strong card in limited. In practice, in constructed, it's just as powerful.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I really love that deck. And obviously, Droid's got some love in the form of Beast Gohan.
Beast Gohan is going to be scarier, I think, in Android 17, 18 than it is going to be in Piccolo.
Yeah, I do think the redirect from Piccolo is going to still... We have to see how it kind of goes into practice. But still a lot of time in this meta to play out, but I do agree. I think droids are gonna have a new toy in the toolbox.
Yeah, I think the Piccolo redirect is definitely super strong into everything but red, because red it's gonna reduce the power of everything you're blocking with, so they're gonna die. Like the ability to say, oh, okay, your really big attack is now going at my 50 versus, oh, your really big attack is going at my 25. Two different scenarios.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. But speaking of seeing, you've been seeing a lot of, you know, I personally asked you to add that the new extra card to Yellow Vegeta. Tell me how you really feel. Now you have a floodgate that nullifies half of the meta.
Well, I think the volume of Loki's tears after I stopped him from swinging with all of his Broly's for the fourth turn in a row is really telling.
No. So the thing is, right, I think that card truly defines that deck now, where you already have energy up for Hellrock Sasha. You already have, and now you have a way to get over like what other big bodies with Andon, and then you can have Blue Power Awakening turns in the next turn.
Truthfully, so. It's not really changing the way I play the deck. I just feel like I have such a strong tool now to stop these big green swing big decks.
Yeah.
Like, I've always felt the poor matchup into Android 17, 18. I think with this, I can get that off on the first swing. It may just have to be like a 3 or 4 copies of this card. It's that good.
Yeah. I even feel like we're harping on Daima a lot, because like a lot of us here in CT have been really kind of dabbling with Daima. Being able to nullify the, you know, bigger Daima swings, I think is going to be really important.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
hey, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. This is Michael Sean, and I'd just like to let you know that this podcast was recorded in Unison Studios. If you would like to record your own podcast or learn more about how to produce your own audio projects, you can go to unisonstudios.org to find out what it's all about. The studio is owned and operated by one of your hosts, me, and it has everything you need to produce your own audio projects. Please don't hesitate to reach out with any questions. That's unisonstudios.org. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of the show.
And a deck, I think, you know, we got to give a little bit more credit. So I saw a list recently. I want to shout it out. The Worst Duelist on YouTube.
Is that the one you sent me?
Yes. Yeah. They have, or no, it was JTP. Sorry. Well, the Worst Duelist also put out a list.
Yeah.
JTP also put out a list for Yellow Frieza. And kind of when I hear the combos and things like that, I was like, wow, wait a minute. Hold on. This is actually a kind of a crazier deck when you think about it than you thought.
The deck is way more interesting than just playing a blocker that heals you or playing 6-drop SCR. We neglected to remember all of the older support for Frieza, like the 5-cost Frieza. I think set 1 that plays a 4-cost King Cold, or the 4-cost King Cold from set 4 that plays a 4-cost Frieza Clan. So for your 5 energy turn with that deck is Frieza into King Cold. You can put it into Metacooler. Metacooler on play, you'll untap an energy. Use that 1 energy at the end of your turn to play something off the top card of your life.
That's just board state.
Yeah, just putting 4 or 25 plus bodies on board for your turn is pretty strong. And truthfully, that blocker that just heals you is nothing to slouch at in practice.
Yeah, like, so
I talked bad about it, thinking, wow, this card just has so many bad stats. I think it kind of has to, because being able to play it for free is really good.
Yeah, and I think overall, we still think that, you know, his stupid face is still going to be running around. Let's be serious with ourselves.
Yeah, Boo's going to run around.
Yeah. It's just going to happen. I do think he's going to get checked a lot more, but I feel like now he's a necessary evil in the format, because if he wasn't, decks like Yellow Vegeta with things like And Don't really mitigating the meta to being like, hey, cool.
It also really checks Blue, because Blue has such powerful tools like Galagun and Proud Saiyan that it no longer can use.
Exactly.
With Blue running around.
So as much as we hate Stupid Face, we appreciate the Stupid Face for checking the meta.
I still think we should touch it just a little bit with the banhammer. Just a tiny bit.
Just a slap on the wrist at this point?
Yeah, a slap on the wrist. It's like, okay, one of. To something.
One of. And then the last color, I think the room has been split on black. I think there's some of us that are really excited for it. And then there's some of us that are like still iffy. But I think as a consensus, I feel like we all are kind of happy that this color is into the fold, into the meta with multiple decks now.
Yeah. So let's talk about the big one, Shenron. Tell me your wish now. Is a card that isn't really being played.
Yeah, not at all. I was really hyping up that card.
No, okay. In truth, I think Shenron, everyone off the bat, what I've seen from Shenron is going into the turbo mill strategy. And the turbo mill, yes, you're putting the 7 cost on board turn 3. But you have no cards in hand at that point. They can just swing at it or remove it like yellow, blue power, or stun it, and they just have nothing left.
Right.
But as we, you know, build and test, I'm seeing it go a little bit more to a mid-rangey.
With the 5 drops.
Just so you can get to, like, turn 5. Not even... Yeah, so you can get to, like, turn 5, and then maybe you activate the leader twice within turn 5 and 6. So you're putting 2 7 costs out in the late game when your opponent's already at, like, 4 life, and then you're hitting them and boiping their board.
I do think Gogeta 6 drop is still a really powerful card that shouldn't be overlooked in that match.
It very well could be.
Yeah, I think that, and I think 5 drop Goku can to manipulate the deck.
The 5 drop Goku to take your 3 cards in the deck that have triggers when they're milled over, you just put those 3 back on top, mill again.
Oh, yeah,
cool. It's just pretty strong.
Yeah, we definitely play tested the deck a little bit, and we did the not turbo mill strategy where, you know, we just swing with little guys, and I was playing Vegito, and I just said Floodgate. And I looked at Michael Sean dead in his eyes, and I was like, smile?
Yeah, except for the 5-cost Goku, the deck has basically no swingers until you make your wish.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, but the other decks in black, I think, are so... There's so much with those.
Yeah, let's talk about Bardock. Just a little bit.
Oh my god, that new Bardock card is absurd.
Yeah, they, like I said, I don't know, 10 minutes ago with Topku, that when they put draw 2 on a card, it just redefines the deck.
Yeah, what you mean I can get like a 5 drop on board that he's
yeah, so you're telling me I pay 2 switch. Energy, I get to play a 5 cost Bardock that when it has things in combo, you just kill stuff. And then also draw more cards? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Funny story with the Bardock deck is I was watching Michael Sean play against someone playing the Bardock deck. Shout out to Kev Chang, killing it with Bardock. Was just basically punching Michael Sean in the face. And then afterwards realized, oh, I wasn't drawing 2 for each of those.
I remember.
So it would have been that much more dominating.
Yeah, so just for context, so the Bardock, because we didn't really go over it in the set review, it's activate main, pay 2, place this card in the battle area in your owner's drop. If your leader is Bardock, draw 2. Then during this turn, the next time you would use a card with 4 or less than Bardock's crew and their special traits, you don't have to pay the cost, meaning there is a 4 cost extra card that Bardock has that is really, really good. And just turbos out a 5 drop. So
yeah, well, a new legend. It just lets you play a 5 cost Bardock screw. It just costs 4. The only real restriction, the only real opportunity cost on that is that it's another brick in your deck, and you have to have it and the 5 cost in hand. But if you're running 4 of it, you'll have it.
Yeah, you'll definitely have it in some way, shape, or form. And it's just, it's actually crazy. Yeah, it's called New Legend. Yeah, if your leader's Bardock, if you has Bardock crew and special traits, you just play up to 1 Bardock with 5 of cost of 5, and just being able to just be having that fluctuation of, do you want to go crit or do you want to go double strike? I think that's gonna really help the deck. It's gonna be curious to see if there's ways to recur it, like the extra card, because at some points, you know, once you run out of Bardocks, it's like, okay, now what?
Remind me on the new Bardock card, was there an energy cost to that?
2.
You pay 2?
Pay 2.
Okay, so and it itself costs 3?
Costs 2.
Oh, the Bardock costs 2.
It Bardock costs two, my guy.
Okay, so you're playing that turn two. Turn three, you're putting out a five drop double strike or five drop critical crit.
Yeah, just that's not much, no notes. And it's also a 10K combo.
Because of course.
Yeah. I know you've been talking heavily about Bulma.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know how you feel.
Bulma is doing hot girl stuff.
What a way to say it.
Yeah, what a way to say it. That new two drop that you are taking a life and then searching top for an adventure card is exactly what you needed on turn two, because the prior turn twos were to play the promo that you want in your drop or the Suke-san, which the effect of it is kind of mid. It's just Rasta guy. They were both the only real turn two options that would awaken you, or you just not awaken and then your opponent can stall you.
Yeah.
But with this one, you're taking that life, you're searching, so you guaranteed find that Yamcha almost. You find that Yamcha, and then if you happen to awaken at that point, you can swing with it and use the leader ability to then combo from drop, get another draw discard with Oolong, re-stand it, and you still have your combo power.
That's, you know, I saw you, I felt the breath come out of me because that was such a long combo, and I am kind of terrified to deal with that in practice.
Yeah, you're just finding a lot of stuff.
Yeah, just casually.
So you can make sure to have that turn four Yamcha. Once you have that turn four Yamcha, you have just, you're just playing dudes for free and you're hitting people real big. And then you double strike them like three times.
Speaking of playing character cards for free, we underestimated the power of that one drop pan.
Yeah.
For Goku GT.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not once per turn.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The Videl that it mirrors from the Satan City deck is once per turn. Or it's not once per turn, but it says you can't play another Videl for the turn. This pan doesn't say that. It
doesn't have that restriction.
So you can just, if you have multiple of the two drop pan in your hand, you can just play the one drop, bounce it, play the two drop, play the same one drop, bounce it, play the two drop. Cool.
You could still be able to swing on draw. I've been seeing Michael Sean. They've been kind of taking to this deck a little bit too. Testing the one drop trunks that we got in the set.
One drop trunks is very cool. It's basically the Gogeta leader ability, but in Goku GT.
Yeah, it's really, really nice to
also,
just
go ahead. The Pan Searcher gets our new SCR.
Yeah. So you have a lot more tools in the toolbox to kind of, you know, find what you need. I know I talked heavily about Gogeta. That is the one deck that I have not had the moment to test.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. And because right now I've been fully immersed in the world of swinging 40 at leader and yelling at my opponent because I'm playing Broly.
Yeah, you're either swinging 40 and saying, no, you can't attack with anything, or you're just yelling really loudly. It's kind of weird from the other room just hearing all just
grunts,
hearing the grunts and yelling.
You're just like, wait, what's going on? Is everything okay? Derek Floki, you good? Yeah, we're playing Broly.
Yeah, I'm just playing with a really big man.
Yeah. Whoa! Jesus Christ. So I think with that, I feel like there's still a lot of this meta. Obviously, it's a brand new set.
I mean, there are some more decks that we haven't even tested yet. I mean, there's a U7 support in red. It has an Android 17 that attacks twice. In blue, Gohan got two or three cards.
Yeah.
Haven't seen any Gohan testing yet, but who knows? Maybe he's back. He's probably not.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
It's probably a trap. But I like that they're giving him support and they're trying.
Yeah, I think. And then the other colors too. I mean, Giblet, I think, is still a really strong deck. You could still use.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably ways you can probably use some of the new tools, you know, in some way, shape, or form.
Giblet is still a gatekeeper of, I'm going to play two bodies every turn, deal with it.
Yeah. I just think overall, I feel like this meta is in a really good position.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, we said this last time. And look what happened. His stupid face.
It did happen.
And Halo Ku.
Well.
Well, okay. So, like, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think are the best two decks in the format?
Cell is probably one of them. The card you didn't talk about is a new 5-cost cell that swings for 40, which is obnoxious. And it kills a 15K. So with the cell chain, you're playing the 4 cost. It minuses, if you minus a 25K down to 15, you play new 5 cost. You just KO that 15. I think cell has way more staying power than it did before, where your best bet was to outlast the 5 costs. There's double the number now. So I think cell's a contender for best deck. But what do you think is another top 2 deck?
I think, you know, kind of looking at it, just if I'm overarching, I think Yellow Vegeta. I think with decks like, you know, Cell running around, I think with decks like Kibu running around, Kibu is the only one that gets checked by it.
I agree that Yellow Vegeta is going to play very, very well into Cell. However, with how aggressive that this meta is showing to be, I don't know.
It's gonna be a dice roll, but I think if I'm looking at everything with like in like a fishbowl right now and seeing like what's coming up, I think Cell, Kibu, Yellow Vegeta, Orange Piccolo.
Oh, you still think Orange Piccolo is gonna be on top?
I think Orange Piccolo once it gets solved,
okay,
and once it gets like, you know, someone to really crack the list, I think we're all gonna be looking at each other. It's like, wait, this is a super defensive deck that has a lot of staying power in those later turns.
And we cannot forget Glorio.
I think
Glorio is going to be up there as well.
Within
the top 5.
I think Glorio is going to be up there. Obviously, we didn't even talk about Janemba. I think Janemba just is a solid deck through and through.
I like that you say that because I was just theorizing, oh, the Metacooler isn't leader locked. So you have more dudes that come in and untap energy and are even more energy efficient, which is Janemba's whole shtick.
Yeah, and you can also play Metacooler and Yellow Vegeta. Fun fact.
Ooh.
No, I did that.
I didn't think about that one.
But guys, let us know in the comments. And we want to thank you guys for listening to us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, whether it be on Apple Music, Spotify, the whole list is there. Let us know in the comment section down below, what are you most excited to test? And let us know what you're testing. We would love to hear from you. And also, apparently we got an email now that we can contact people at, which was definitely something that I am really excited to get into because of the fact that, you know, there's a lot with that. You know, people can like write into us. So you could write into us at swingnocombo@gmail.com.
No spaces, no capitals.
No spaces, no capitals. So if you have anything that you want to talk, any ideas that you want to talk about, let us know because we are open ears. Again, thank you to the wonderful folks here at Unison Studios for housing us. You know, we are almost seven, eight episodes in. We still haven't gotten kicked out yet. We did it. We got there. Y'all stuck with us. For so long.
Thank you all so much for watching.
Wait, listening? Watching?
Listen. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Thank you all so much for listening.
We're definitely going to cut that out.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. Guys, also do us a favor. Hit us with that 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts. It does help out the algorithm and get more people to indulge in the swing no combo. But until next time, I hope your combos at leader are massive and you have a great day or night whenever you listen to this.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You did it. You've made it all the way through this episode of Swing No Combo. Hopefully, you're ready to put some new skills into practice in your next games. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we're looking forward to having you back next time on Swing No Combo, the Dragon Ball Fusion World card game podcast.